This is the 1UP Radio Network, and now GFW Radio.
Hello, and welcome to the GFW Radio Podcast, or as it's called in my homeland, Radio Podtastica.
Fantastico!
Where are you from?
I'm from Van Nuys, California. This is Jeff Green, Editor-in-Chief of Games for Windows, and I'm here with a slightly reduced staff. Actually, we're just missing one. And let's see if the readers can guess who it is when the rest introduce themselves.
This is Ryan Scott.
Darren Gladstone.
And Sean Malloy.
Have you figured it out yet? Sean Elliott on vacation. Much deserved vacation for the young man.
He's in Ireland right now, yeah?
He's in Ireland. Yeah, he's way out of the country. Can we say something Irish for him?
Aaron Gobra.
Very good.
Frosted Lucky Charms are magically delicious.
Shillelagh.
Yeah. Shillelagh.
Guinness.
Yeah. So, no Heroes of the Web this week. So, those of you, if that's the only reason for listening, I guess you can turn it off now. Though if you do, you're going to make me cry.
Don't make Jeff cry.
Don't make me cry. It's sad. Also, one other point of fact, we are recording in the fabulous 1UP Network closet this week.
trapped in the 1UP closet.
Yeah, so we sound a little hollow.
Yeah.
Because we're literally in a closet.
Yeah, what is this room? Like 6x6 or something? This thing is like crazy small.
Hey, Ryan, where's your hand? Never mind.
Ew.
Ick.
Okay, so we're shipping the magazine this week, so pardon our if we have a reduced time this month, but every once in a while we do have to actually work around here, today being one of those days. So shall we get into it, gang?
Sure.
Let's throw down.
We will throw down now.
Oh, wow.
Thank you. I guess, yeah, you will be in charge of the belching now that Sean is out this week.
It's a well-ventilated room as well.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm keeping my gaseousness to my mouth. Leave it at that.
Yeah, well, please. It's a small room.
Question mark?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, okay. We had a rather big national event yesterday that... obviously not remotely a source of humor whatsoever, and we just want to go into it a little bit only because I don't know about you guys, but I know for sure, for me, within 5 minutes of this horrific event that happened at Virginia Tech, I was thinking, well, when is it going to happen? When are we going to get that first, you know, link to video games? And
I think we all kind of had that same thought yesterday.
Right. Everybody in the gaming industry, we all sort of just now wait for the other shoe to drop, especially when it's something involving school, because then it means it could be a student, a young man or whatever, a boy. And so we're thinking, great, when's the link coming? And in fact, now we are 24 hours after the event, and there has been no link made whatsoever at this point. At all. We don't even know if this guy had a computer at this point. However, that has not stopped the usual suspects from coming out.
And one unusual suspect.
And you think he's unusual?
Well, I mean, he hasn't mouthed off about this stuff before.
You're right. One we're not even going to talk about, but the one who we weren't sure is who, Darren? You take that one.
Dr. Phil, who really needs to shut the hell up.
Mm-hmm.
And
he needed to shut the hell up before this story.
Yeah, but this makes it official.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
So, I mean, do we just, like, dive in? I mean,
yeah,
like,
sure.
So, basically, he was on, Mr. King last night's show on CNN, and he was mouthing off about how games are kind of leading to the end of the world. A couple of choice highlights. I don't know if you guys grabbed a couple on your own, but let me see. You cannot tell me, common sense tells you, that if these kids are playing video games where they're on a mass killing spree in a video game, it's glamorized on the big screen, it's become a part of the fiber of our society. You take that and mix it in with a psychopath, a sociopath, or someone suffering from mental illness, and add in a dose of rage, the suggestibility is too high. And I have to say, the only thing I could think of is, you know what, okay, you know what, Charles Manson blamed the monkeys, or the Beatles, or whatever.
The Beatles, not the monkeys.
I mean, the Beatles, still the White
House. The monkeys caused their own crimes against humanity.
I was thinking of the Sam Kinison joke, where he's like, you get the same message from the freaking monkeys. And he's like, you know, daydream believer. How clear does it have to be, man? But
I think the key in Dr. Phil's own words is the sociopaths and psychopaths. Like, that being the, like, starter here.
Yeah, exactly. That's the common ingredient, right, of mm-hmm. these mass murderer types is they're sociopaths. Not that they have any, like, you know, particular, you know, shared pastime together. Well, maybe along with buying handguns. That might be another shared pastime. Kind of getting overlooked
here. He went straight to the video game without any basis whatsoever. It was just like, heard about school shooting. Video games are to blame somehow, even
right.
though we don't know anything about this guy who did it.
Yeah, I think that's the point at which we can express our annoyance and our disappointment. Mm-hmm. I mean, you don't need any further proof here with this, with the statement from Dr. Phil, that a certain segment of society is just going to, on a totally just knee-jerk level, blame video games for anything, no matter what. There's nothing that ties this thing together. And, you know, maybe we're going to find out in a couple days, whatever, that this guy was a gamer. Who knows? We don't know. Nobody knows anything about him. But for this to be coming out of the mouths of people right now to directly blame video games with nothing mm-hmm. is just, you know, what more needs to be said, really?
Well, we heard that he played basketball or something, right?
Right. Yeah. They found that in one of his journals. Right.
That's what did it.
Yeah, you know what?
Actually,
and creative writing.
Damn, creative writing classes, source of evil.
Yep.
But, you know, actually, I have a theory as well. Milk. You know what? Every guy on death row, he drinks milk. So, you know, milk's got to be the cause of mass murderers.
Right. And,
true?
You know, we're not trying to be flip here. And like I said at the beginning, obviously, there's no humor in this incident at all. And, again, maybe we will find out there, you know, that he played. But, you know, if he did play, so do, like, how many tens of millions of kids and adults around the country, and most of them don't actually commit acts of real violence. So
I even feel bad that this whole event has to – we're sitting here even talking about it.
We should say that before we came on here, we debated even bringing it up.
I mean, it's a tragedy, and it's just wrong to, you know, dress it up any other way, but it's becoming a political hack tool.
Everything does.
I know, but it just annoys me that, like, people don't talk about the real issues. They just kind of have their own agendas to push.
Right. It is really kind of sad and ridiculous that on a gaming podcast we're even bringing it up. So I actually do apologize to any reader who's listening to this and saying, why the hell did you bring it up then? That is a valid question, but we're addressing it only because, you know, we had a very well-known, I don't know why he's well-known or respected, but TV pundit, Mr. Dr. Phil, come out on national TV and make this kind of bogus claim. And I think as stupid and wrong-handed as it is, you know, we as gamers and as gaming press still have to look at it and figure out a way of addressing these things, you know.
And we're in the difficult position. Any gamer is in the difficult position of defending themselves. Because
right.
if you're playing games, then you don't... It's as if, to the people who don't, you know, your opinion doesn't matter. It's like, well, you're one of them. Mm-hmm. So, of course, you're going to defend it.
Right, right.
So that's a struggle. Anyway, let's move on to something.
Well, let's move on to happier things. We just wanted to put that out there. And, of course, we are all as horrified as the rest of the country about this event. And... you know, our hearts go out to everybody involved. So, okay. So, back into the happier land of gaming. Boy, can we recover from this? Or should we just all stop talking and cry now? What happened this week that was good news? We had at least one good thing. There were a couple good things that happened. We'll call the Fallout thing good news, right? Won't
yeah.
we?
I think so. I mean, seeing any new Fallout game is going to be good news.
Mm-hmm. So what happened there, Darren? What was the news?
Well, I mean, like, it's never been a secret. I mean, like,
right.
Bethesda's been talking about, you know, teasing us that they have the Fallout franchise, or at least they're acquiring it. But it was only made official last week, I think, that they have all IP ownership for $5.75 million.
Mm-hmm.
So
it's a steal,
a bargain at twice the price. So they finished Shivering Isles, and now they're kind of rolling in big time on focusing on the next game, which looks like Fallout.
Man, that's a lot of frickin' money. $5.7 million?
I guess it gives them rights to the old games, I guess, maybe. They can maybe repackage them if they wanted to.
Does it?
I don't know how the deal works, but...
Hmm.
But the one thing I guess the one thing that's been I've been just wondering about is, I mean, you guys can correct me on this if I'm wrong, but okay, so the Elder Scrolls games are by and large pretty serious stuff. Right? It's like high fantasy.
I guess.
Yeah, they have some goofy humor.
The whole new expansion is kind of based on craziness.
Mm-hmm. I haven't played Shivering Isles yet. You liked it, or
I haven't played it, but that's just all right. I don't know about it. That's the theme.
Here we are,
craziness.
We are the authority. Uh-huh. No, but so anyway, I guess what I was wondering is, can they pull off the snark? I mean, because personally, when I was playing the Fallout series, I loved that snarkiness and kind of like that tongue-in-cheek humor and modern cultural nods. And I'm wondering, would they be able to pull it off as well? I mean, because they're talking about taking the IP in a whole, their take on it.
Mm-hmm. Right. Well, I mean, my bigger concern would be the fact that Fallout was, you know, an isometric turn-based game, which is like a totally different style of game than anything Bethesda's done with their role-playing games. So, as opposed to like the humor or something, which, you know, all they have to do is hire
a good writer,
writers who are like amenable to that style of humor,
right. That's I don't think that's going to be an issue. The writing necessarily.
Well, I mean, I've seen a bunch of games jump, you know, genres, but I mean, it's just a matter. I mean, to me, I think the game, the heart and soul of the game was turn-based strategy, of course.
Well, I would be surprised if they don't turn it into something like Oblivion.
You think?
I don't think there's no way it's going to be a turn-based RPG. I can't even see that.
Oh yeah, you guys think it's going to be like a first-person?
I can't imagine it not. Yeah. Considering that, I mean, like,
it's going to be interesting. I just haven't even given it much thought, but yeah, I guess you could be right.
Maybe I'm wrong. I don't know.
It could be a lot like Stalker.
I would just assume. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's going to be Oblivion, but post-apocalyptic.
So, which you know, basically like Stalker.
Kind of, but that's a shooter. It's not a.
It was a shooter with RPG leanings, as opposed to the other way around.
An
for
RPG
Oblivion.
With shooter. I think this will still be an RPG. I think it'll. I would be surprised if they just didn't take the Oblivion template wholesale, almost. Mm-hmm. Maybe a couple tweaks here and there. Because I mean,
they're doing it
Oblivion
in-house.
Oblivion was a big success.
Are they doing it in-house? Is that how we know? It? So it's their next in-house.
That's you know. Game. Besides, wow. Okay, yeah. Because I mean, like they're working with Zombie to do that Rogue Warrior game.
Yeah, editorial director John Davidson just walked by the window and is now sticking his tongue out at us as we podcast live. Thanks, John.
You know, I should bring in a camera next time so we can capture some of these like Kodak moments.
We're going to have to get him back on One Up Yours now. I don't know. This game, it makes me nervous a little. But I'm coming from a slightly geezery perspective of that I loved Fallout 1, Fallout 2 a little less so much.
Wait, how do you like Tactics?
I like Fallout Tactics.
Yeah. How about that crappy action RPG?
That was like a Baldur's Gate ripoff on the consoles.
What was that called? I don't even remember.
Was it a Fallout game?
Yeah, it was
Fallout, something I missed.
It was Fallout branded, but it was totally cheesoid.
I have a vague memory of this, but I think I blocked it from my consciousness.
Probably should have.
When it came out.
Good call.
Lots of scorpions. Sean would have loved it.
Okay. Yeah. But I don't want to have to block Fallout 3 from my consciousness. I don't want them to screw it up.
I have every faith in them.
Well, they make good games.
Yeah.
They make good games, and
But this franchise is going to be totally new for them.
Right.
Like, they always do the fantasy thing.
They did the, did they do the Call of Cthulhu thing in-house?
Duh.
I think so. Wait.
Ryan, remember that one?
No, I don't know, no.
I don't know if it was developed in-house.
We don't know shit on
All right,
podcast.
We are totally...
The authority.
The authority again.
Said earlier.
Well, we're shipping a magazine today. We don't have time to do well. Yeah. Right. We don't have any fact checkers here.
Wait, well, Bethesda, they made our game of the year, so we have every reason to believe that.
Yeah. If this thing is Oblivion... Know?
I am a fan of Bethesda and their games. It's just... Yeah,
we're talking
you're right.
About
it's
Fallout.
Interesting about how they, it's a franchise. I'm just wondering how they could take that franchise.
To me, it seems like a natural progression.
You think?
I mean, Oblivion is really open-ended, lots of side quests. Fallout was pretty open-ended.
Very
lots
true.
Lots of side quests.
Right,
and
very true.
You could kind of shape your character however you wanted. And it just seems seems natural.
As long as they have some cool perks.
Fallout is definitely one of those. To me, it's one of the best RPGs I ever played because it was so much. That was one of the games where I felt like what you did really influenced. I mean...
Right, yeah.
How the game played out, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the dialogue actually mattered. The choices, your attitude actually mattered. You know, a lot of games claim to do that, but very few pull it off, and that one did. And you're right, Bethesda, too, knows how to do that.
Yeah, Bethesda needs to take the Planescape Torment series as well now while we're at it.
Yeah. Yeah. Another
great
one. If
you're listening, Pete.
Yeah. True.
That was awesome.
Love that series.
Probably my favorite of the Black Isle games.
Yeah. That was one I was most skeptical about, too. Because I was like, I don't know if I want to play this character that's already pre-made for me. And all these other NPCs are...
Yeah, that's true.
It's awesome.
I have to admit, though, the only ones I ever finished, as much as I liked all the Black Isle games, was Icewind Dale 1 and 2. For some reason,
really?
I could never... Yeah.
Those are the only ones I never really could get into.
Yeah, I know. Because they're kind of almost the most... I don't want to say generic. That's not doing them justice.
Well, they're following the books.
Well, you
right?
got to do a party in those games, didn't you? Or now am I making shit up?
Again, we are the authority.
Yeah.
It's a theme for today.
Yeah. But Planescape's still sitting on my hard drive, along with Baldur's Gate 2, as the games. One day, when I get that mythical batch of free time, I will finish.
You know, I think you can, if you install that entire, like, the, was it 4-disc game? If you install the whole thing on your hard drive, you could play that, like, right off the hard drive. I have to test that out with a crap notebook.
Mm-hmm.
I want to play that again. I want to play it again now. I'm just
talking. Do you have more to say about Fallout?
As long as they keep that mascot. What's his name? He's got a name, right? Fallout Boy.
Oh, Fallout Boy. Pip.
That's not it. Pip. That's
Pip.
It.
Pip. That's it.
We put Pip on our cover.
One of
our more notorious covers.
That wasn't that the neon orange
one.
Cover?
Yeah. People hated that cover.
It's pretty disgusting.
But not as much as the vampire cover.
No, the vampire cover is number one, but I think that Pip-Boy cover goes in like the top three or four. I would do another Pip-Boy cover, but I guess not one like
than the orange one.
Yeah, the orange one. The other big announcement this week was the long-awaited announcement of BlizzCon coming back. Yay! At least two dorks in this room of four are going to be going.
Woo!
Hell yeah!
I don't know why they didn't have it in this past fall. I guess they were busy working, huh?
I guess. I mean, they can do whatever they want. They have the ability to just,
I guess,
at a whim,
can't they?
Summon BlizzCon and half the world will come.
Right. So, $100 a ticket. Let's see. What are the details? BlizzCon's August 3rd and 4th. BlizzCon, if you don't know, is basically just a fan convention for Blizzard. For Blizzard and their fanboys and girls. I note this time in the list of things going on.
Your cord.
Oh, am I making all that noise? Shit. It's this frickin' closet.
Technical problems, ladies and gentlemen.
Along with the discussion panels and the tournaments that they're having, this year they're having live orchestral performances of music from Blizzard Games.
That's cool. That's better. Last year they had the Offspring.
As performed by Renaissance Fair
Skip
players.
Hey, Mr. Snarky.
Hey. I wanted this thing and I'm going to like it.
Yeah, I'll like it better than Offspring, too. They're also making a big deal about the fact that open gamers age 4 and older. It appears like 3 times in the thing. No strollers will be allowed in big, bold-faced
That's
text.
Good.
But plenty of people are allowed to dress their kids
that place
as Murlocs.
Was packed. I can't imagine. Were there strollers last time? Was that like an issue?
I don't know. Apparently it was because they put it in bold-faced this time.
If you were there, it was disgustingly packed. It was like...
It was.
Oh,
it was a lot of sweaty Blizzard fans.
This is my nightmare.
Yeah.
And it was all lines.
Like, yeah, right.
Lines
sounds
for...
like E3.
Yeah,
it pretty much was.
I think they actually were calling it LineCon themselves, some Blizzard employees.
A very tightly focused E3 on especially the sweaty herds just messing together.
Yeah. It really was one line after another.
It's sad, that last BlizzCon was when I finally said, hey, StarCraft Ghost is looking pretty cool.
I was just going to say that. That's true. And now
I'd
it's
seen it
no
so
more.
Many times where I was just like, ugh. And then this time I was like, finally, it's getting somewhere. And
yeah,
then,
they had stations set up where you could play StarCraft Ghost, and it actually was fun.
I remember seeing that at is it E3? Like, 2 years ago?
Probably.
Yeah, no,
and, like, I remember that was the last time I saw it. That was kind of promising.
Well, it hadn't been for a while. But
I'll just have to wait for StarCraft 2, I guess.
Now it's gone. I wish I had played more.
Should
of
there be a StarCraft 2?
If there is a StarCraft 2.
So aside from like the music performances and whatever panels, like what is there to really do at BlizzCon? Like,
for me, it was all about the panels.
Blizzard product. Yeah, the panels are really the...
I was just dorking out on those.
Yeah, the highlight of it. Because
there's really not that much else. There's just, last time there was like a costume contest. So, you know how those go. They had StarCraft International tournaments there is like an invitational thing.
And I watched some of that. I actually never watched that before. And
I discovered I can't watch those.
That was your lesson of watching competitive gaming.
And then they had like, that was the first time, that was when they announced Burning Crusade, right?
Yep.
Yes.
Yeah.
They showed the trailer.
You could play the Blood Elf Star.
And plugged our issue.
Oh, that's right.
And that was about it. And there was the longest line was for the store.
Yeah, very true. It was.
Just to buy hats. Yeah. I did not get this hat there, but
yeah,
I got other hats.
Dude, you should walk around the convention.
What I did is
walk around with the
I went one
the
day and then went the next day to Disneyland because it's
and which did you like better?
Oh man,
fewer lines at Disney.
There were fewer lines at Disney.
Now there's a comment.
Yeah,
you could get on anything.
Now the developer panels were awesome, they were awesome. I would say equally from the developer side because those guys are very forthcoming and honest and direct.
Awesome.
But the fan reaction was great, too. You know, it was just really kind of much more so than E3, which is really supposed to just be an industry event. And, I mean, we know a lot of civilians sneak in, but really it's still mostly game industry people. And then being at a fan convention where practically everything these guys said would be met with whoops and cheers. And it was just kind of...
You could kind of tell that they were just like, what's going on?
Yeah.
They were kind of taken aback by it. Like, every panel I went to, they were all just kind of like, wow.
Yeah, they were kind of blown away by their own celebrity. Like, they didn't realize, you know, I mean, they know from reading message boards or whatever, you know, that they have, obviously, they have a lot of fans, but it was like the public appearance and seeing thousands of people was like, holy crap, you know? Which, you know. It's kind of how it is for us in public, too, you know.
People totally. Stop you on the street all the time.
All the time, yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. The price of celebrity, it's kind of a burden.
Are you Tom Green?
So I'm going to go.
I'm your biggest fan.
I'm going to BlizzCon.
For sure. Plus you get, like, good stuff. That's where Mercury
was. There is the goodie bag, which, you know. Probably has going to have some
turtle mount or
they
something.
They got to do something in game now,
course.
Right? Don't you think?
Yeah, that was such
we'll
a
be disappointed
deal
if they don't.
Huge success.
So you guys go to that.
The
I'll go
Murlocs.
To Comic-Con.
The Murlocs. Comic-Con?
You do that. I'll like go to Comic-Con. Comic-Con. I want to go to Comic-Con.
I've been
Comic-Con
in a couple of years.
I haven't either.
I've never been. Always wanted to go.
You've
really?
Never been to Comic-Con?
No.
What?
Man, turning your geek card, dude.
Well, I never had a chance to make the Mecca down south. It's always been a horrible timing.
I don't think, Ryan, you've ever missed a Comic-Con, have you?
I've been to one. I went
really?
To one for one day.
Wow.
Wow.
The staff's a bunch of posers. Well, thank God John's not here to make fun of all of us, though.
Yeah.
The guy who eats more comics than anybody.
Exactly.
I think the highlight of Comic-Con for me was walking by Harry Knowles engaged in a Green Lantern discussion.
Did you punch him in the face?
Really?
How the hell is Harry Knowles a highlight for you?
I thought
you were going to say he was in a Green Lantern costume.
Oh. That would have been even better. I was like, hey, that's Harry Knowles. Hey, he's talking about Green Lantern.
So did you actually have this moment of...
Did you tell him he's like the worst writer on the entire internet?
No, hey, come on now.
I stayed for... I lingered for a moment. And like,
he could
to
sue
see
us.
Harry Knowles in the wild.
Uh-huh. Did you have this moment of celebrity? Like, hey, it's Harry Knowles. You can admit it. Did you have this, like...
I think I said, hey, it's Harry Knowles.
Okay.
That's about it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't...
I might. I'm just thinking I might.
And then you watch him lick the gravy stain off his
kind of a celebrity. Sort of.
Yeah.
Ryan is just...
You don't like the Harry Knowles, huh?
I will be quiet now.
Almost as much as opposed to your normal MO.
I don't really care for him either. I just was like, hey, it's Harry Knowles.
Right.
It was the only celebrity I saw the whole time, so it was kind of, quote, exciting, unquote.
Yeah, I never saw anybody at Comic-Con.
Except the panels. I think there was an X-Men panel, and like they had the cast up there. Bryan Singer and Ian McKellen.
I saw lots of guys in like Spider-Man outfits, but I don't think any of them were actually Spider-Man.
Did you ask any of them?
Are you the real Spider-Man?
Can you pose for a picture with me?
Yes.
The best thing about like Comic-Con and like those kinds of con conventions is like just going by the... like the D-list celebrity tables.
Oh, yeah.
Those are awesome.
For
and
sure.
Just seeing all the has-beens.
Oh, my favorite, going to WonderCon and seeing, get an autograph with pro wrestler Virgil. And, like, it's mm-hmm. the loneliest table in the whole show. He's sitting there, playing solitaire or something.
Yeah, usually one of the Coreys there, a Haim or a Feldman.
You're right. It's the Corey corner.
Yeah.
There's the guy who
probably
played,
contractually.
The guy who played Chewbacca.
Uh-huh.
And, like, Mayhew.
Timmy from Lassie.
No, that's not him.
They had one of them had one of the old Batman, the Batman TV show, not Eartha Kitt, but it wasn't Catwoman, Batgirl. I don't know who played Batgirl. Do we know?
Man,
Yvonne Craig.
Really?
Yes.
Damn. You're good.
I know a lot about the old Batman show.
Especially
so
the
might have been her.
Especially the Batwomen.
Yeah. They were hot.
Hell yeah, they were.
Yeah.
And next. This would make a great PC game. Next topic.
That would make a great PC game.
What, the Batman the TV show?
Hell yeah.
Oh, I thought you were going to say, like, Comic-Con Tycoon or something.
Don't even suggest it. There's already somebody working on that.
Yeah, no doubt. There's probably never been a good Batman PC game, has there? That sucks. Wait, has there been a good Batman console game?
There were a couple back in, like, the Nintendo, Super Nintendo era.
Well, I know Ubisoft tried something. Was it the Sin Tzu?
Nobody ever did anything with the whole
wasn't that great.
Batman franchise, I mean, that came back.
Batman and Superman both have been historically terrible game franchises.
Yeah. Maybe DC superheroes just don't make for good video game characters.
Not so far.
Could that be? Because Marvel's doing all right.
Yeah, Spider-Man is a success.
All right, so what has there been a good DC comic game ever?
There were a couple of good Batman games. There was Adventures of Batman and Robin on the Super Nintendo.
Wow, so we're going
ways back.
That goes way
back. What
I remember liking the Batman movie Genesis game. I don't know if it was good, though. I just remember liking it.
Let me see what else. How about, I mean, I don't know.
That's pathetic. How could there not be a good Batman game?
And then
he's
Superman.
He's like the greatest character ever.
Superman is even worse.
Superman, I could see not being good. What do you do with Superman?
He's too powerful. You know, I think it's like the last game they tried, Superman Returns. They had an interesting idea making the city alive.
Right, the city was like the one that got the health points.
It was basically a health bar anyway.
But it was
just an excuse.
Exactly. I know, but it was poorly executed. It was a good idea, poorly executed.
It seems like you could have a really good Batman. I don't know, like a third person RPG shooter sort of. Well, no, RPG maybe not. Batman or
action RPG.
Yeah, something.
Well, they did that, like Justice League.
Heroes.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that was
that's
kind of
true.
The X-Men Legends.
But the whole the look of Gotham City, it just seems like it can make it for a great environment, you know?
You'd think so.
Well, we'll see what happens with...
Get on it, somebody.
We got four people in this room. I think we can make something.
Yeah.
Make it happen.
Well, let's see what happens with the DC Universe.
There's also a really bad Aquaman game for the Xbox and PS2.
Really? What a surprise. A bad Aquaman game.
I swim. Whee! I'm a superhero.
Yeah, we're going to hear from the Legion of Aquaman fans now.
Yeah. The Guppy League.
I'd like a co-op Wonder Twins game. That would be pretty awesome.
Oh, dude. Oh, that would be so sweet.
Wow. Okay, you get it.
I wouldn't really like that, Jeff.
I totally would. Form of... Come on.
Not even comic characters. That's cartoon.
What, are you going to bash on the Super Friends now? You suck.
Okay.
All right. Do we have any other actual PC gaming news? You know what we haven't done? Okay. We haven't done a what you're playing. And maybe we'll do that right after we get back break.
Oh, hello. I didn't see you there. But as long as you're here, let me tell you about EGM Live, the weekly podcast from the editors of Electronic Gaming Monthly, along with the wonderful sounds of... EGM Live comes action-packed with special guests, late-breaking news, fanboy-baiting commentary, behind-the-scenes tales of office tomfoolery, and trivia contests with fantabulous prizes. Download it now at egmlive.oneup.com or subscribe to it through iTunes.
EGM Live is part of the 1UP Radio Network, taped in the Ziff Davis offices in San Francisco. It is not actually live, and contest prizes are not guaranteed to be fantabulous.
See, we're back already. We never the screwed thing is we never know what the commercial break commercial is going to be.
I usually know.
Do we actually?
Really? You do?
It's going to be the EGM podcast promo, probably.
Okay. God, those guys suck.
We're going to start a turf war with them now, too?
I'm switching it up now.
Well, now that I've been on Retronauts, I can't say those fucking Retronauts anymore, so I got to take it.
You can still say it.
If you're not on
go right ahead.
Fuck Retronauts.
Yeah.
Fuck you guys. Yeah, I was on once. Never again. Jerks.
Bunch of dickwads.
I'm just kidding. Sort of. No, I am kidding. I was on Retronauts last week, and we talked about Marathon. One of my favorite game franchises of all time.
Bungie Classic.
Which leads me into now playing, because that's what I'm playing now at home. I took our own advice on Retronauts, and I downloaded Marathon for free, which is amazing. They've got the whole Marathon. Bungie has the whole Marathon series up there for free. And I'm playing through Marathon 1, and of course, you know, it was like playing Doom 1 on Xbox Live Arcade a little while ago. It's like, obviously, duh, dated beyond belief in terms of both graphics and certain elements of gameplay. But, you know, level design holds up over time, over decades even, and so does story. And Marathon just completely has it. I'm loving it all over again. And I really feel like it's not, you know, just rose-colored, you know, it's not just me living in the past. Like, it actually feels like a good game still. So I definitely encourage people to go check it out.
Yeah, I could swear people, like, recreated some of the Marathon maps in, like, you know, Doom 3 and stuff like that.
I think there have been conversions and maps like that done, yeah. But reading on message boards about the reaction to the Retronauts podcast, you know, you're definitely finding people saying, like, I didn't know Bungie did anything before Halo, you know, which is kind of like, yeah, I didn't know Paul McCartney had a group before Wings, because it's like Marathon was huge and great at the time.
Marathon.
Obviously, it was nowhere in Halo's league in terms of popularity, but still.
Myth
as well.
That was a great I think it was that one of the first tactical series that I really got into.
Yeah, it was one of the first, like, real-time
3D.
I think it was the first. I could be wrong, and we'll hear it if I am. But I'm fairly certain they were the first ones that had, like, a 3D map or 3D terrain in an RTS. And it was also totally tactic-based, right?
Yep.
There was no base building kind of stuff.
There was no base building.
You kind of just got your army at the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
Off you go.
Uh-huh. God, that was a great series.
That, and did you guys like Oni?
I liked Oni better than some of the reviews
I played
it got.
About a level of Oni. I was like, maybe I'll play this again someday. It just totally did nothing for me. It was very
Did they develop that in-house? I thought that wasn't them.
I thought it was. They had, like, Bungie North, I think. Or whatever they called it back then.
Once again, we don't know.
Once again.
The authorities.
Wow. It's a theme today. We know shit, and yet we're still talking.
And we'll continue to talk.
GFW, where we talk out of our asses.
Literally.
Just not in this room.
Yeah.
I don't know what that meant. So I'm playing Marathon, and I'm digging it. And anyone who needs a good lesson on Bungie's history should go check it out. And I wish I had the URL to tell you, but if you just search on Bungie and Marathon, you'll find the link. Or go to our website at 1UP.com and go to the Retronauts podcast page, and I think there's links there. Do that.
But still fuck
Do that
guys.
Second one.
Yeah. But still fuck Retronauts, yeah. anybody else playing anything? Ryan?
Nah. I got nothing this week.
Really?
No.
We have been busy with the whole work thing.
Yeah. I've snuck in some WoW, believe it or not. But that's about it.
Well, and that's work-related, right? Because
you've
got a big WoW story, so... In the works, so
I've been playing my Wii, which I finally got.
Congratulations, by the way.
If that counts.
That counts. Sure, that counts. And how's it holding up for you?
It's pretty cool.
Yeah. Now that you bought one, like after the initial like hype and excitement, you're feeling it was worth it.
I think it's pretty cool. I'm digging the controller.
What do you got? What games?
Super Paper Mario is what I'm doing right now.
It's a good one.
Yeah,
I got that too. I
guess love the first Paper Mario. So.
Well, this one's side-scrolling.
Really?
It's kind of sort a of. Hybrid platformer action RPG.
It's kind of side-scrolling, and then there are parts where it goes 3D, or you go like.
And is it using the controller to do shit?
Hold the controller like on its side, so you're playing like a typical sort of gamepad.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
It's very minimal with the Wii-ness,
yeah,
so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just a good game. Mm-hmm. I'm glad when they like don't abuse the Wii controller just because they have it. It's like if they're just going to make a game that it's just kind of intrusive to like swing your arm around, I prefer if they just go with the traditional method.
Because
that's what like Zelda, the swinging around with the sword is actually kind of dumb.
Well, Zelda, you can tell if that was like a GameCube game retrofitted.
Oh yeah, of course,
to the
Wii. And it shouldn't. It really shouldn't.
Okay,
just...
but let's not descend in the Wii talk.
Oh yeah, hello.
Right here on GFW Radio. Sorry, boys.
But speaking of Nintendo, now I'm going to watch how I bring this back.
Okay.
So there's a game that I've been checking out. It's kind of a combination of Pikmin and Gremlins. It's called Overlord. Now it's
okay.
So we wrote about it in the first issue of the magazine, and I've been actually really surprised that nobody's been talking about this game because it's so much fun. It kind of has shades of like Dungeon Master in there.
Who makes this game and what is it, Darren?
Codemasters makes the game, and I remember seeing it at E3, like hidden away in this small little booth, and, like on the back end on one monitor. And it was like no one was seeing it, no one was checking it out. But I went over and took a look at it back then. I'm like, wow, this is a really cool idea. It's very comical, very like polished fantasy, but you know, obviously tongue in cheek.
Okay, so Pikmin was a GameCube game in which you like rounded up creatures, right?
Sentient plant.
Okay, so how does so what happens in Overlord?
Overlord, basically, you are an evil overlord, and the game evolves depending on how evil you want to be. Mm-hmm. So you start off and you have a busted up castle, and you have to reclaim the pieces of your evil fortress that have broken apart and are like kind of corrupting the land. So you go out and you find minions to go out and do your dirty work.
I mean, it does sound like Dungeon Keeper too.
So, and the thing is, but it's also an action game in that you're overlord. You can walk around and walk up to someone and slice them.
Mm-hmm.
But you also can just have your minions do everything. Like I would point the cursor at some sheep. And you say, okay, go get them, and they'll go kill the sheep for you.
Why would you want to kill sheep?
Ah, and therein lies the
genius.
Oh,
you're evil.
Exactly. So right. You could kill anything. You could kill the townspeople, and they'll – I mean, like if you just let them be, they'll treat you like a kind of hero. But if you send your minions to go out and loot the town, they'll start running from you and fear you, and the town evolves in that way. So like basically as you start claiming areas that belong to you – you'll see like these big like banners pop up that say "Obey" with bodies hanging off of them and stuff, and it's very twisted. And
so this is a retail game.
Well, it will be a retail game at one point.
Aha! Uh-huh.
It's still a ways off. I think it's coming out this summer, but I want to do my part to kind of like get the word out there about this thing.
Okay. Well, I mean, you did.
All right, mission accomplished.
You've done your part. So is it in like alpha stage or beta
stage? I think it's in beta stage, and while I haven't officially looked at it. It is looking really cool, and I think people should be on the lookout for that one. It's coming to the PC and the 360, simultaneous.
But we're gonna say you should probably go ahead and get it on the PC.
Yeah, you know what? Forget the 360 version.
Fuck the 360.
Seriously, fuck those guys in their fucking ear.
Can we say that?
I just did.
We are in partnership with Microsoft.
Oh right, that.
Whole but only on the only on the games for Windows side.
Mm-hmm.
Well, let's test it. Let's see if we're here next week.
Okay.
Fuck the 360. All right, now we'll see what happens.
And actually, I just wanted to pose a quick question to you guys. So I was kind of thinking about this. Last week, Capcom formally announced they're kind of pushing more of their console games to the PC as well.
Yeah,
right.
So Lost Planet's is going to be one of the first DX10 games out the door, and that's going to be in hands June 10th.
Aye.
So what I'm wondering June 10th. Mm-hmm. Going forward, I mean, like Devil May Cry 4, that's potentially PC simultaneous. You know, do you guys care about seeing a game like Devil May Cry 4 on the PC, or would you just want to see it on a console? I'm just kind of curious about that. Is it too console-ish?
To me, it would definitely depend on the game, for sure.
Yeah. I mean, you can plug in an Xbox 360 controller and pretty much play it. I mean, without that, I would say I would play it on my console, no question.
Yeah, I mean, I have both.
Mm-hmm. I know, I have them both, so.
Right.
But when a game comes out that is on both at the same time right now, it still depends on the game for me, which I'd rather play. I think I've gone both ways now, and I'm trying to think of a good example of each.
I think in this case, just because it's totally just because of my setup and my rig, but I would play on my 360 Devil May Cry.
Oh, you bastard.
Yeah, I think I would,
no,
too.
No, I probably
to be
would,
honest.
Too.
Yeah.
Gotta be honest.
Actually, you know what? A good example for me for both what you're talking about?
Mm-hmm.
Oblivion.
Yeah, right. There you go.
Because Oblivion looks so beautiful on a big TV, you kind of want to sit there and get immersed in the world. As
okay,
opposed.
But
well,
I
see,
went
I
the other
it
way.
On the PC.
And I played it on the PC because I was concerned about downloads.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted it to just be open to me to get, like, free shit. So,
all right.
So I put it on the PC. And also my TV sucks.
Plus, I wanted to play it with a mouse.
Well, actually, I mean, I played both, but I got further in the PC version because of all the mods that, you know, kind of changed the gameplay and stuff like that, and all the additional quests.
Well, something like Devil May Cry, you're going to kind of be predisposed to buy it on a console just because
right.
you think of it as a console.
Because you've been trained
game.
As a
I mean, if you don't have a 360, then great. I can get it on
right.
PC, and I can plug it in an Xbox 360 controller, and woo.
It is a good question, though, like down the line, if companies like Capcom start making more simultaneous releases. Like, is that anything but a good thing? I don't know, like, what the downside is for them, even, you know?
Right, I don't know either.
It's like another SKU for them to sell copies, probably to people who wouldn't buy it otherwise.
Well, the thing is, in the past, I remember they've made they've had publishing deals where they'd kind of, like, pass the buck on the PC version to, say, like, I don't know, whatever company.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a plan to release Resident Evil 4 on the PC, but that still hasn't happened. So the fact we're seeing Lost Planet a couple months after the console release is, you know, kind of a good sign.
But again, Resident Evil 4 seems to me like one that I'd be skeptical about even playing on the PC.
I don't know, man. Have you? I mean, you enjoyed playing Infernal on the PC, right?
I did, yeah.
And that's a very console-ish game.
You're right. Yeah, and Infernal was a little... Well, no, it's not like Resident Evil 4.
Well, just
not
by like the camera angle.
The camera angle is, yeah, but not the gameplay. Yeah.
It's good.
I mean, it's not like there haven't been console ports to PC in the past. But
Psychonauts.
Right.
It's not an unprecedented activity by any means.
But, no. I mean, I think the only thing we want is what we always say. It's just like, you know, make the port work on the PC. Don't be lazy about porting it.
Oh, God. Remember the Spider-Man game? The original one that was like a kid's game on the PC and then like...
Right.
That was so annoying.
Well, what, you know, when you're playing a PC version and the you know, you get a thing on the screen saying, press the circle button now, you know they haven't done a good job of porting the game.
Well, I've noticed, actually, like, there's two... ports that I've reviewed recently, Jade Empire and Top Spin 2, and they both kind of like assume you're using an Xbox 360 controller.
They do.
It'll be like press the green A button or whatever.
Oh, I noticed that in Jade Empire too.
Right.
Yeah.
And they were talking about optimizing that for keyboard and mouse, and they still have that in there.
But
maybe that's because you have the controller plugged in.
I didn't try this, but you know what would happen if you plugged in like some, off-brand controller,
right?
But why would you buy anything but a Microsoft controller?
That's true.
Yeah,
you earn 100 achievement points for using that controller.
You kind of do have a good point though.
What?
I mean, like the Xbox 360 controller. Seriously,
I actually did have a point.
Well, you're kind of making a joke, but, like, the Xbox 360 controller, I don't know that I would ever use another controller.
It actually is really good.
On the PC, especially if games are going to start assuming this.
Right. I wouldn't either. Do we have anything else this week at all?
Actually, I wanted to give a quick shout-out to one of our readers.
Oh, yes.
So, actually, this is a really cool PM I got from Sergeant B on the 1UP forum, Timothy Burdick. So, I'm just going to read it straight up, so... Hello, I know you get tons of mail, but I'd like to tell you that your podcasts have been a bright light in the murky, filth, disgusting filth that I reside in. He's stationed in Iraq right now. I particularly like Heroes of the Web. Sorry we don't have one this week, man. But last week's song was also very nice. I usually play the podcast. I play the podcast usually with as large a group as I can muster. Keep up the good work. And you know what? Thanks for spreading the good word over there. And I'm glad the podcast can help out a little.
I would have thought our podcast might make it even more depressing.
I was going to say.
But
you want to hide in your bunk or something.
To anyone listening out in Iraq or anywhere else, we're glad that we could do our tiny, tiny share.
Tiny, tiny, tiny.
So you send us something cool from over there, and we'll send you a game.
What could they possibly send us cool from over there?
And could we send them a game?
I think never mind that whole thing Darren just said. Yeah. Yeah.
All right. I got nothing.
Oh, you didn't get to talk about the other game you're playing, the Cudgel of Xanthor there.
Of Xanthor.
Oh, jeez.
Right. I'm back from my big trip over to Brack Studios in Denmark. And so, yeah, they let me walk away with the beta of Cudgel of Xanthor.
Sweet.
Yeah. It's if you've played Sword of Xanthor, Blade of Xanthor, or Dagger of Xanthor, you probably
Dagger
know what
sucked. I'm sorry.
Dagger was a little, it was a little...
They strayed way too far from the formula.
They did, and I think with Cudgel, they're kind of back, where they should be. And, if you haven't read my preview in the new issue, you definitely should, because they got a lot of really cool ideas going with that game. So I recommend y'all check it out.
They're doing some really dynamic stuff with that, aren't they?
Yep, they got some really cool water effects, lighting effects.
They're using AGF physics, right? Or
no, they're not. I don't think that technology made it there up yet to Denmark. There's combat in the game. You can create your own character. There's a lot of really good features that you should check out in Cudgel of Xanthor.
I wanted to keep going with that.
Yeah.
I so wanted to keep going with that.
Yeah.
Well, I will check it out.
Yeah, please do. Do Brack Studios a favor. All righty. Maybe, are we done?
I think
so. Oh, it so feels like it.
Yeah, we're done. We'll be back next week with probably a more livelier and longer version. This is our shipping week podcast, so give us a break, please.
Yeah, we apologize, but please don't take
right.
it against
we us. Love you anyway, and each and every one of you. And we'll be back next week to love you some more.
Even you, Ryan.
Even Ryan.
Aw.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye, guys.
Kisses.
This has been a presentation of the 1UP Radio Network. For more shows, visit podcast.1UP.com.